The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Lamed Zayin, Dinei Netilason. The Seder HaKofos, Sifim Aleph to Zion. Sif Aleph. Noitelis HaLulav Im HaOgud. You take the Lulav with the other Minim, the Arava and the Hadas that are tied to it. The Shedras HaLulav Kneged Panav, and the spine of the Lulav, the smooth part that's usually greener, that should be the part that's facing you, B'yamino, and you should be holding that Lulav in your right hand. Vesa esrig bismali, and you should hold the esrig in your left hand. V'kevon shebechol ha-mitzvahs tzrichim levarech aleim kodim asiyosan. Since, like any mitzvah, we're supposed to make the bracha right before we do the mitzvah. V'gam ha-esrig tzrichim lahachzik der gedilasei. And also, the esrig, just like the other minim, we have to hold it when we're doing the mitzvah in the way that it grows. D'hainu meaning, sha'oikit sheboi nechtach mina ilon yelamata. The oikets, the stem, where it's hanging from the tree, so that is on the bottom. By sheishanta lamala, and the pitam is on top. Okay, and therefore, kishu naito sa esrog kaidem shemavarach. So now, when you're going to pick up the esrog before you're going to make the bracha on the lulav, yitleu behipuch. You should pick up the esrog upside down. Ha oikets lamala, the stem part on top. And the pitim facing downwards, so you shouldn't be yaitzi with the mitzvah yet. Muvarach mu'umud al netilas lulav. And while you're standing, make the bracha al netilas lulav. Lefisha lulav gavoy mikulan. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, because why do we make a bracha al netilas lulav, and why not picking any of the other minim? Because the lulav is the tallest of all the minim. And choshev hu v'nikris kol agud al shmoy. So the whole bundle is called on the name of the lulav because that's what sticks out the most. We don't make the bracha before we pick up the arba minim because then that would be more of a hefsek. We'd make a bracha and then pick it up. So then that's like oiver the oiver. So rather we have it holding in our hands and all we have to do is just flip around the esrig to be yaitz of the mitzvah. So we say the bracha and then we turn it around. We'll be yaymar rishon, and on the first day of Yom Tiv, mevarach gam shechiyonu. We also make the bracha of shechiyonu. V'imchol yom rishon b'shabbos, and if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, she'ein noiklim by lulav, that we don't shake the lulav on Shabbos, v'zayim mevarach shechiyonu b'yom sheni. So then, we would make a shechiyonu on the second day of Yom Tiv. I'm sorry, on the second day of Yom Tiv, which is Sunday. And so after you make the bracha, you turn the esrog back the correct way with the pitam on top. And you bring it close to the lulav. So there shouldn't be any separation between the lulav and the esrog. You shouldn't hold them apart, one in each hand. Rather, you have to make sure that the esrog is touching the bundle. And you shake the lulav to four directions, kaseda azel, as in this following seder. And just to note, when an esrog grows on the tree, because of the weight, it's actually the pitam that is facing downwards. But since we always look as the stem as being the bottom, so therefore the correct way to hold it for the bracha is when the pitam is facing up. You know, after you turn it over, the pitam should be facing up. So how do you do the nanuim? So in this order, Mizrach first to the east, Dorum south, Marav west, Safon north, Mala then upwards, Mata then downwards. So six directions. V'chein b'na'anuim shebahalol, and it's the same thing when it comes to shaking the lulav during halol. V'chein b'hakofen, so too when we're doing hakofes, when we're doing hishanis, same thing in all directions. And yizaya l'kariv es ha'esrog al lulav, you should make, I'm sorry, we don't shake with directions by Hashanahs. What he's talking about is Yizoya Lakarvis Esrog El Lulav. We should still doing all those three points to make sure to keep the Esrog attached to the Lulav. Shloye Pirud Benam. There should be nothing separating between them. Shouldn't have air space in between them. A lot of people you know, they do it when they make the bracha on the lulav, and when they do by halal, when they do the nanuim. But a lot of people, when it comes to doing hashanahs, when they're being doing a hakafah around the bima, and they're trying to juggle their siddur or their hashanahs card, people have to remember, you're supposed to, even by hashanahs, you're supposed to keep the lulav and the esrig together, not separated by air. If you made a mistake and you put the esrig in your right hand and the lulav in your left hand, and you made the bracha like that, you should make sure to pick up the lulav and esrig again the correct way, but you shouldn't make a bracha on it again because perhaps you were yaitzi, but you should still nevertheless to be make sure you yaitzi all the opinions. You should switch it around and pick it up in the right hands, lulav in the right, esrig in the left. Iter, one who's a lefty, noitos halulav biyaminai shu small kol adam. A lefty should hold the lulav in the lefty's right hand, meaning his stronger hand, which is really essentially what everyone else would call the left hand. So, as far as we would normally talk, a lefty would hold the lulav in the left hand. The esrog b'smala, and the esrog he holds in his right hand. I'm sorry, in his left hand, which is what we would call everybody's right hand. V'im hafach, and if he switched the order, chayzav noitlam b'loy bachi, he also, like a regular person who switched the hands, he should pick it up again without a bracha to be yaitz the mitzvah. Umishu shaylet b'shtei yodav, and someone who is ambidextrous, he can write or do things with both hands. Harayu kechol adam. He's like everybody else. One thing to point out, a distinction when it comes to wearing tefillin, so we look which is the stronger hand, and there's a machlekes about what happens if someone writes with his left hand, but he does all of his other malacha with his right hand. So when it comes to tefillin, so there's different opinions, but the Ramah says that for tefillin, since it says uchsavtam, therefore, your left hand, if the land that you write with, that's the one that's most indicative as to where to put your tefillin on. So therefore, if you write with your left hand, so then that means that your right hand is the weaker, and you should put your tefillin on what we would call the right hand. However, when it comes to lulav, this doesn't apply. We would certainly go by lulav. If someone just writes with his left hand, he does everything else in his right hand. For lulav and esrig, he's considered a righty, because that's where he does most of his malachas, and he should hold the lulav like everybody else does, the lulav in the right hand and the esrig in the left hand. It's only by tefillin, where there's a special limud, because of chsavdim, that's why the Ramah holds differently by tefillin, but by lulav, that would not have any shaychas. Sif Gimel. Nachain shiach leitzis at tefillin kaidem tilas lulav. You should remove your tefillin before you pick up the lulav to be yaitzi with it. L'chol apachis, and at a minimum, yosias aritzua me'al yodai, you should take the straps off of your hand. Shloitei chatzitza, it shouldn't be a chatzitza between the esrig and your hand. V'gam nachain, l'hosia tabois shabetz baisav. Also, if someone has rings on his hand, he should remove them when he's doing the mitzvah of Ntilas Lulav, so there shouldn't be any hefsek. And Mishnah Berurah also adds that if someone was yotzei the mitzvah with wearing rings, he should take off the rings and he should pick it up again without a bracha to make sure to be yotzei the mitzvah without a chatzitza. Sif Dalad. Seder ha-na'anuim shebahalal kachu. Okay, this is how we do the na'anuim, the shaking of the lulav. During Halal. Bahaydu yesh sheish tevis chutz min Hashem. In the stanza of Haydu Hashem ki toiv ki lo'ilam chasdai, there are six words, not including the name of Hashem. So therefore, b'yananeya b'chol teva l'ruach acher. So each word you should be shaking in a different direction. U'v'shem lo yananeya. But when you're saying the shame of Hashem, you should not be shaking the lulav. So how does it come out? Bahaydu l'mizrach. When you say the word haydu, you should be shaking to the east, which is in front of you. Ki. When you say the word ki l'darim, should be going to the south, which is to your right. Toiv. When you say the word toiv l'marav, you should be shaking behind you, which is to the west. Ki. The word ki again l'tzafayin, you'd be shaking to the north, which is to your left. La'aylam, when you say the word la'aylam, lamal, you should be shaking going upwards. And chazdai is lamata, you should be shaking downwards. V'hashatz eino mina neya ela b'hoidu u'b'yom mina Yisrael. The shliach tzibur, he's only shaking by hoidu and yom mina Yisrael. V'hatzibur, but the tzibur b'chol pam sha'emim hoidu. They shake whenever hoidu is said. So the tzibur is going to be shaking four times by hoidu, four of the stanzas, and the shliach tzibur is only going to be shaking by two. U'v'ana, but when it comes to ana Hashem ishiana, Hashatz v'gam atzibur menanim. Both the shliach tzibur and the tzibur themselves, they're going to be shaking during ana Hashem ishiana. Rak ma'ana Hashem ishiana, but not by ana Hashem atzlichana. V'kivin shemuvar Hashem yesh by sholosh tevis. So by ana Hashem ishiana, since if you exclude Hashem's name, which we don't shake for, there are three words. Ana Hashem ishiana, excluding Hashem. So manaim b'chol tevel l'shtei ruchay. So we shake for each word. We shake in two different directions. So when you say ana, you're going to be shaking forward and to your right. Hashem, you're going to be stopping. Hashia is behind you and then to your left. And then the last na is going to be up and then down. Now, even though the word ana is just has two syllables, and Hashia has three syllables, so a lot of times people find it more convenient to stretch out and shake in more directions, in three directions Hashia, because it has more syllables, but that's incorrect. Each word should be used for two directions. Uvahaydu shebesayf halal, continues the Kitzur Shanach, when it comes to Haydu, that's at the end of halal, the second set of Hodu, Gam Kemenanim Hashatz Vatzibur. The Shliach Tzibur and the Tzibur also, they both shake. Ukshemenanei Lamata, and when we said that one of the directions that you're shaking is downwards, Yashpil Rak Yodov Lamata, you should only have your hand, while you're holding the Abaminim, your hand should be going lower. Va'lulav Imshah Minim Yisharu Kedech Kedilasim. But the Lulav, with the other Minim, should be standing upright, the way they grow, the way you started to hold it in the beginning when you first picked it up. V'yesh noyagin shemahapkin es halulav l'tzad mata. And some people, though, they have the minig to actually point the lulav downwards. They turn it upside down so that it's actually the top is facing downwards. V'ayishana odam minig amokam. Ayishana odam minig. A person should not change from where the minig is. Mishbur says that, in general, the better thing is not to point it down, just to lower your hands, the first way the Kitzur Shulchan said, and that's pretty much the predominant minhag as well. Ein tzarech lahafeich panav latzad shehu menaneya. Kitzur Shulchan says that you don't have to turn your body to the side that you're shaking, meaning if you should be standing straight, looking forward, and then when you're shaking, you're shaking in the different directions, but you don't have to turn and swivel your body to the direction that you're shaking. Rak Roshia Lulav Yata. Just the Lulav is the one that should be pointing and tilting to each direction. There are those that argue it, that the Lufila Ari, the people do turn their bodies, and of course each person should do according to his minig. Vananua in Sashia Bachizik. Now when you're shaking the Lulav, you don't have to shake it wildly, with a lot of strength. Ala kiskus ma'at, you just need a little rattling from it. Kadesh yisna'nu ha'alin sagi. As long as the leaves and the lulav are shaking, and you know if that's happening because you're hearing a little rattle with the leaves knocking one against the other, sagi, that's sufficient. So now, while the Kitzur Shulchan doesn't go into it, just wanted to briefly talk out how the Mishnah Berurah says that the nanum should be done, besides, as we just said in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but when you're actually going back and forth in one of the directions, so Mishnah Berurah says that you should be shaking, the leaves should be rattling as you're going forward and as you're coming back in. So let's say the first one, which is straight in front of you to the Mizrach, so you hold the lulav and esrig with your hands that are close to your chest, to your heart, and then you're going to go out all the way and then back in. But you should be shaking the lulav the whole time. It should be shaking. So as you're going out, your hands should be shaking. So the lulav shakes as you're going out, and then your hands should be shaking as you're pulling back in. And that's the nanua. Some people, they could be, they have a different minhag, that they stretch their hand all the way out, and then they shake three times, and then they bring back in. But the way the Mishnah Berurah says to do it is that one should not do it that way, where they just outstretch their hand, shake it, and then pull back. Or some people, they're very gentle with it, and they just move their hand back and forth, and you don't hear any rattling. No, the way the Mishnah Berurah says to do lechatchila is to, as you're going out and as you're going in, your hands should be shaking, and rattling as you're going back and forth. And of course, if someone has a minhag from his family that's otherwise, one should in general not lightly give up so lightly a minhag that runs in his family if it's different. Sifhei. Also lechol kaidum tilus lulav. One should not eat before he's yaitzi the mitzvah of lulav. Umishu b'derech, someone who's on the road, umitzapish yavri l'mokam sheisham esag lulav, and he is hopeful that he will reach a place, will reach a town that he can obtain a lulav and esag to be yaitzi the mitzvah with. V'chein adorim b'yishuvim, same thing as someone who lives in the outskirts. Umishalchim lehem esag v'lulav, and they send a lulav and esag from the city to them. Tzvichin lahamtin ad chatzais hayayim l'yaiset. You have to not eat and wait as late as to just before chatzais to be yaitzi the mitzvah, and you shouldn't eat before then. Why not? He also lisanis b'yom tov v'chol amoid yaitzi, because you're not allowed to fast on yom tov v'chol amoid till chatzais. That would be an issa if it's also batanis during chol amoid and yom tov. So you shouldn't eat until you do the mitzvah of Luvan Esrog, but if you see Chatzais is approaching, so then you have to make sure to eat before Chatzais, even if you weren't yaitzi yet the mitzvah of Luvan Esrog. Umisha cholash libay lahamtin ad Chatzais. However, somebody who his heart is weak and he doesn't have the physical stamina to wait until Chatzais to eat, and he doesn't have a Luvan Esrog that he could bench on yet. So yachal litaim ezadavah kaidim. He could eat something beforehand. That means mezainus less than an egg's worth, or any type of or bread less than an egg's worth, or any type of shahakol or ha'etz or hadama, you can have that if it's too hard for him to wait till chatzais. Avol mi she'ein li b'cholosh, but someone who doesn't have a weak heart, yesh lo lahachmir afilu b'tima, should be machmir, not even eat even something that's called a te'ima, meaning that it's less than a kabeya of mezainis or any types of shahakals and hadamas, haitzes, etc. Sivav. Mutar lahachzir alulav b'yom tov l'mayim. If you keep your lulav in the water, you have a pitcher of water where you keep the lulav in it so it should be fresh. So on yom tov, you're allowed to put it back into the water. L'haisiv alav mayim. You could even add additional water to the water that's already there, aval lo yachlif, but you shouldn't change the water on yom tov. However, on Cholamoid, mitzvah lahachlif is a mayim. It's a mitzvah to switch the water that's holding the lulav. Today, she yishar ha-lulav lach u-mohudah, so that the lulav will remain very fresh and mohudah. Now, in our days, a lot of people don't even keep their lulav in the water. They find it better to keep it in the plastic cases that keep it better. Our lulavim, in order to maintain their freshness, they're dipped in wax. The bottom of the lulav, where it's cut from the tree, that's usually dipped in a wax to seal off that cut mark, and that keeps the lulav remaining fresher for a longer period of time. So that's why in our days a lot of people don't do the water trick, because it's not even going to soak up water from the place where it's cut, where it normally would, because there's a wax a wax film blocking the water from entering through those pores. So there are some people that they have a minig on every day of Cholamoid to put in new fresh aravas, replace them. That would be a hidden mitzvah. Sif Zayin. Hadas shel mitzvah also lariach bay. The hadas that we use in the lulav, we're not allowed to smell it. Kol shivas yimei achag, all the 7 days of Sukkot, afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. Avol be'esrig, however, in the Esrig, Mutar lahariach bay b'Shabbos, because the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to smell the Esrig on Shabbos, mevarchan alav, and you make the bracha on it, a nice and meach toy b'peres, one who gives good smell to fruits. U'b'shayim me'achog, however, The other days of Sukkot, not on Shabbos, ain l'riach, but you shouldn't smell the esrig. I feel shalay b'shas n'tilas l'aseiz, but even not when you're taking it to the yitz of the mitzvah, just even in the afternoon sometime. Shum d'yesh safik bracha, because there's a safik whether you can make the bracha shenasan riach toy b'peris, because the esrig is really meant for a mitzvah. It's not really meant for smelling. So since the ik is for a mitzvah, perhaps you shouldn't use it for smelling. The Mishnah Brura, the Be'er Locha in Siman Reish Tezayin, brings down opinions that even on Shabbos one shouldn't make a bracha on the esrig, because since it's huktzah l'mitzvah kol shiva, it's meant to be set aside only for the mitzvah all the days of Sukkot. So even though on Shabbos we can't be yaitz in the mitzvah, but still it's being put aside. So he ends up there, better one should not pick up the esrig to smell it even on Shabbos, because of the safek in the bracha. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Halulav asa l'tatlei b'Shabbos afilu etzah gufoi mekoimli. The lulav cannot be touched, moved on Shabbos, even if you need the place for the lulav. Yishum da'abi muktzah, because it's muktzah, and it's not a kli, so therefore it's asa even l'tzah gufoi l'tzah mekoimli. Avala esrig, but the esrig, kiven shi'achayin l'ariach, but since technically one may smell it on Shabbos. Ain't a muktza, it's not muktza. Mutal atatla, you'll have to move the esrig. Mutal litna li toicha muchin shaya by kaidim yantiv. You'll have to take the esrig and put it back in the cloths that you wrapped it up with before yantiv. Shekvar kod arech, because the cloth that you wrapped up the esrig in, or any other fiber, you know, sometimes they used to use linen. So that already has absorbed the smell of the esrig, and that would be okay to replace it back into those cloths. But you shouldn't put the esrig into a new piece of cloth, or the beged, or any other type of clothing, because you're now going to be flavoring, spicing that cloth. That cloth is now going to get the fragrance of the esrig, and you're not allowed to add fragrance to any type of material on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Kol Tov.